He had only been walking for a few hours. So he asked them, "Why have you stopped? Are you already tired after just a few hours walking?" Then one of the porters looked at him and said, "Sir, no, we are not tired. It's just that we've been moving so quickly that we've left our souls behind, and we need to pause to allow them to catch up with us." "I'm too busy. I don't know where all the time goes. This year is just flying by." I wonder if you've caught yourself saying any of those things in recent weeks. Time is so basic and unchangeable, isn't it? It's the most precious commodity that we have. Presidents and paupers, queens and road sweepers still only have the same amount of time each day. No one can buy any more, and so how we use it is vital. But our modern lifestyles are ruthless. We work harder and we earn more money, but we have less time or energy to enjoy the money that we have made. Technology has given us modern conveniences, and these conveniences make our lives better in so many ways, but they've also increased the pace of life, and they make it harder for people to be away from work when they're away from work. Of course, now you can have your office with you at all times via your phone. So if our bodies could say something to us today, I wonder what it would be. Perhaps it might be these words: slow down. Take a rest. And by the way, I gather that once you get retired, life can get even busier than when you were being paid to do things. So this is a talk for people, whether or not you're in paid employment. You see, we need to evaluate our priorities so that we can better order our lives. If we don't live by our priorities, we will instead live by our pressures. And I don't think that's a very good way to live. And so the fourth commandment speaks to us about how we should order our time. Now, we must make sure that we don't misunderstand this commandment, because if we think of it in any way as God making yet another burden for us, we've got it wrong. No, the Sabbath is intended to be God's gift to us. If we weren't so stubborn as human beings, God might have said, "This is a recommendation." But actually, taking rest, as I'm sure you probably agree, runs so counter to our innate desires, and God loves us so much that he's had to make it a commandment. But we don't follow it, do we? It's interesting, if you look at Exodus chapter 20 with me, just if you'd like to find it in your Bible. It's on page 78. I wonder what you notice initially. It's the longest of the commandments. The longest description is given for the Sabbath. And look at the people who are mentioned in this description. You, your son, your daughter, your male, your female servant, your animals, and all foreigners living in your town. So what we're saying here is that this commandment is so extensive because it applies to everybody. It applies even to those who are working in our country on zero-hour contracts, and it even applies to to animals. Just think of that for a moment. Think of the battery farming. Everything, everything is under God's eye. So God bases his rule of a Sabbath rest on the way that he creates the universe. Do you see how it's described in Exodus chapter 20? Now, I don't personally think that when God created the universe in Genesis chapter 1 as it's described there, that those were specifically 24-hour periods of time, that he created it in 7 days, as we know 7 days. But I do believe that God created the universe in an ordered way. He built rhythm into creation. And that order and rhythm operates at all levels, from the smallest cell in our human body to the movement of the tides in the oceans. There are daily, monthly, and annual rhythms that we respond to. And these are in our sleeping and our waking, our eating and our drinking, our growing and our developing. If you modify or play with these cycles, you get very negative results. For example, has anybody ever suffered from jet lag? Now, what are we doing with jet lag? Well, there's two things going on there. One, we're flying, which is tiring in and of itself. Two, we're playing with time zones. And our bodies don't like it. I remember a friend of mine who was working for a British-American company who was excited to have this new job and spent, I think, 2 years basically transatlantic commuting. Every 2 weeks, he would be across to the States. And after 2 years, he crashed quite literally. His body fell apart and he had to have 6 months off work because he was crossing time zones so much. God tells us in Genesis chapter 20 that he works in a structured way, whatever that means in actual terms of time, but also fascinatingly that he rests after his efforts. So this rhythm of work and rest is something we have inherited from our Creator. So what is this day of rest? Well, keeping the Sabbath day was one of the great distinguishing marks of the Jewish people. There were other laws around that time that added to it, but not many. It was quite simple when it started. Those laws said how far you could travel, for example, and what kind of cooking you could do on the Sabbath day. But it was, in essence, a very simple commandment. Take a day of rest. Sadly, by Jesus' day, those simple laws had been added to by a vast number of restrictive and petty rules, over 1,500 of them. And Jesus had something to say about these. More of that later. Now, after Jesus' resurrection, the first Christians started worshipping on Sunday. Why do you think that was? It might have been because Jesus himself was raised from the dead on a Sunday, and so they wanted to mark that day. Or it might have been that the Holy Spirit was given on a Sunday at Pentecost, so maybe that was another reason for worshipping on a Sunday. Or it might have been a very practical reason, that some of the Christians had come from a Jewish background, and the Jewish people still celebrated the Shabbat, Sabbath, Saturday. And culturally, that meant that the first day of the week was Sunday. So some of these Jewish Christians were still wanting to celebrate and to be part of their Jewish heritage and their families and pausing for Shabbat, for Saturday. But they then also wanted to gather with their Christian brothers and sisters to worship. And so they may even have actually just worshipped very early on a Sunday morning because Sunday was a day of work, culturally. So it's kind of like the equivalent of the 8 o'clock service in our churches, which grew out of a need to provide worship for those working on farms who then had to go to work later in the day. By AD 321, Constantine, who was the Roman emperor, who became a Christian, had enacted a rule. He declared Sunday as an official public holiday. And so apart from in culturally Jewish areas, the rest of the Roman Empire had Sunday as its day off. And that's, I think, where we come to today. Now, there are different views on how Sunday today relates to the old Jewish Sabbath. Some people take a very strict view of Sunday and of what can and cannot happen. Others consider that the new era that Jesus brought in has rendered this part of the Old Testament obsolete. There is something to be said, I think, for both sides. While the rules are dead, and remember, by Jesus' day, there were over 1,500 rules relating to the Shabbat, Sabbath. I don't think any of us would want to have those on our list of things on a Sunday. By the rules are dead, I think the principle surely must remain the same. It's a principle rather than a rule. Because for many people, like Bickers, Sunday is not their day of rest. And that applies to doctors. It applies to people working in emergency services today. It's a principle rather than a rule. And let's remember as well, in this whole context of talking about rest, that work itself is good. Yes, this commandment is about rest, but the clear assumption is that we will spend the other 6 days in productive work. Now, work is much wider than employment. Employment is what you get paid for. Work is much broader than that. Many people work long and antisocial hours caring for children, or partners, or parents. Work is much broader than employment. Work is good. Adam and Eve were given work to do before the fall, to care for creation. Now, if we have paid employment, let's be thankful. Many do not. But let's at the same time remember who we're working for. St. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, we should work willingly at whatever we do because we're working not for our earthly master, but for God himself. Have you heard of Brother Lawrence? An amazing man who wrote a very small book, which is a very profound book. He wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. Now, you might think that he was a very serious theologian type. It's a very profound book. But you know what Brother Lawrence did? He was in a monastery, but he wasn't the abbot of the monastery. He was the cook. And he spent his whole life in the monastery kitchen cooking for the community. And he wrote a book about practicing God's presence in the kitchen. He said this, "I turned my little omelette in the pan for the love of God." People look for ways of learning how to love God. They hope to attain it, I know not how, from many different practices. Is it not a shorter and more direct way to do everything for the love of God? To make use of all the tasks one's lot in life demands to show him that love? Just cast your eye or your mind over the tasks that you'll be doing over the next few hours. I wonder what a difference it would make if you were to do all of those for and in the love of God. But we need to take rest seriously, don't we? The problem is not that we take work too seriously, rest too seriously, but we take work too seriously, and we see rest as trivial. The Jewish people have a question they ask themselves. Are you working from rest or resting from work? I think they've got the balance correct in that question. We should be working from an overall sense of feeling rested, not being so frenetic in our work that we have to rest. We should be adopting a rhythm to our lives. Because rest is good for us, isn't it? It's good for us mentally and physically. We rest our eyes that are strained by looking at computer screens, our backs that are strained through manual labor. We rest our metabolisms that have been kept going through caffeine. We rest. Rest helps us to take stock, to get perspective, to see the big picture. Taking a day of rest makes a statement about who we are and who runs our lives. In Genesis chapter 1, we're told that the God of the universe stood back and saw that all that he'd done was good. Taking a day of rest makes a statement about who we are and who runs our lives. You see, by resting for one day of the week, we're saying we're trusting God that we don't need to work for 7 days of the week to make enough money to live on. And the opposite is fatal, is it not? Workaholism is quite literally fatal. The Japanese have a word for it, karoshi. It means death from overwork. And do you know what? In Japan, it's the second largest killer of all working males. And stopping reminds us that we're not indispensable. If we think we are, it's an illusion. We need to step away from the busyness to get perspective. Many people just can't stop, can they? Because they can't wonder. They wonder if they'd ever survive if they stopped. Some people tell me that they won't take a holiday because they haven't got time, or they'd lose too much money. Let me tell you a story about a man called Gary Grant. He started a toy shop in 1981 called The Entertainer. He had one store, and as he was starting the business, he worked long, long hours, 7 days a week. In 1991, he became a Christian, and his whole worldview changed. And then in 1994, you might remember, that was when the law changed and Sunday trading was made legal. And Gary was under great pressure. By now, his business had grown to more than one store. He had the opportunity to put stores into some of the big shopping centres. But they said to him, we'll only have you in if you're going to be open 7 days a week, because we don't want a shop that's shut on a Sunday. It doesn't look good. Well, Gary thought long and hard, and he decided that he would not open his shop, any of his shops, on a Sunday. And so he missed out on the opportunity to put some of his stores in these big shopping centres. He's now got 20 shops across the country. He employs over 300 people. And his business is, guess what? It's doing really well. The nearest Entertainer store is in Ipswich. It's a great place to take children and grandchildren, because actually, ethically, they also have quite a careful policy about what they stock in the store. So you can go in there confidently with your children and grandchildren to buy things. That's Gary and the Entertainer, who put his trust in God and took a day of rest. So what am I going to do with this day of rest? Well, I'm not going to be prescriptive, because that's about adding to rules which we don't need. But here are a few principles, perhaps. The first thing we might need to do is actually to plan to have a day of rest. We might need to guard it. We might need to put some work in so that we can have a rest. What do I mean? We might need to write it in our diary. Have you ever heard of the term white space? White space is where you put a line through your diary. And if someone calls you up and says, are you free? Your children call you up and say, can you look after your grandchildren on this particular day? And you look in your diary. Actually, I'm sorry, I'm busy. They don't need to know what you're doing. But you're busy because you've decided to put some white space in your diary. You see, Jesus was very proactive, wasn't he, in taking rest. And think about how much else he could have done if he kept going without rest. But we know that that wouldn't have worked. The time to rest is when you don't have time to rest. So I wonder what we might need to do to rest. not impose lots of extra rules. Jesus' challenge in Mark's Gospel chapter 2 was to those who had added loads of rules to people's lives. He said the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So let's embrace this as a gift. But let's decide to use it well, to restore and to refresh ourselves. And let's stand up as well for people who need rest. I wonder if we've ever thought about where we buy our things from and the companies that we use and their attitudes to rest for their employees. Let's stand up for rest. One Jewish rabbi said, "It was not Israel that kept the Sabbath, so much as the Sabbath that kept Israel." May it be the same for us too.